So it means you don't need to take out your pew Bibles. You can, that's okay, you can giggle at that. The reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He said, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Jesus said, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he said, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus said, "A man was going down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and left him on the road, half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that same road, and when he came upon the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came upon him, and when he saw him, was moved with compassion. He drew near and bound his wounds, having first poured oil and wine on them. And placing the man on his own animal, took him to an inn where he cared for them. And then the next day, he took out 2 denarii, two days' wages, gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him. And when I return, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Now, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." Jesus. That Jesus guy, maybe you've heard of him. He was a pretty smart fella. But he could get irritated at people a little bit. And he taught a lot of good life lessons. Yeah? Would you believe? And I want to tell you before I get too deeply into this that much of my sermon preparation today comes from this really fabulous book. I keep turning around to talk to the choir because in my seminary days I sang in the choir and we always sat up on the chancel like this, and I could never hear the preacher. So I feel you. You know, this book is Short Stories by Jesus, a book by Amy Jill Levine, who is, believe it or not, an Orthodox Jew who is a New Testament scholar. But if you happen to want to get deep into the meaning of all of these things, this is a fabulous book. So here's this lawyer who's, first of all, sea lioning Jesus. Do you know what that term is, what sea lioning is? So you know how sea lions are just persistently that bark? They're kind of annoying. So those people who constantly want us to prove our point, but they're doing it in that way of, oh, but I want to learn more, right? But show me the statistics. So you're doing, oh, you know what I'm talking about. I see what you know. But prove to me. But I don't really believe that people of color are locked up more than white people. Surely white people are put in prison too. Show me the statistics about the school to prison pipeline. Surely that can't be right. Prove to me. Do you know what I'm talking about? So that's called sea lioning, right? I want to learn. I need you to prove, but they're trying to wear you down. So sea lions, they're always that barking. So that's actually called sea lioning. So this lawyer is sea lioning Jesus, right? Because he can read. We know he can read because Jesus asks him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? And he answers. He knows the law. He knows what he needs to do, right? He gives the correct answer. But Jesus is a pretty good teacher. And he's going to teach him anyway. And what's he asking about? Who is my neighbor? Whom do I have to take care of? Well, whom do we need to take care of? Who is my neighbor? And he answers in kind of a joke. Now I need to tell you that, first of all, this is from the Gospel of Luke, and Luke was a physician, and he's like, the lawyer gets a bad rap in this, right? And as lawyers sometimes do, and I would venture to guess that one or two of you might be a lawyer. And, you know, we make jokes about lawyers sometimes, don't we? And we make jokes about people. And right then and there, we're already separating people and making generalizations about people and stereotyping people. Well, what does that mean? And Jesus uses that because it's not like this is a 21st century or even a 20th century phenomenon, right? In Jesus' time, just like we might say, well, a priest, a minister, and a rabbi walk into a bar, and I changed that up on you in today's sermon title, a priest, a rabbi, and a lawyer walk into a bar. So the form that this would have taken, it would have been, well, a priest, a Levite, and an Israelite. That's the accepted thing. A priest, a Levite, and an Israelite. That's what people are expecting to hear. But Jesus changes it up. He says, a priest, a Levite, and a Samaritan. A Samaritan? A Samaritan. Well, that's like saying, today, you know, a priest, a Levite, and Osama bin Laden walk into a... What? What? The Samaritans were hated. This guy was assumed to be the other. They were stereotyped. So he's using that to turn the whole thing on its head. Do we ever do that? We might. We might sometimes, right? We carry around our own baggage. And we're in a period of disruption now in our nation, even within the UUA, if you've been following things in the UUA, right? What are some of the things that we're talking about? I see that you're doing some work on white privilege. Yeah? I was looking at your announcements this morning, and you're doing some of that hard work, and that's some of the work that we're doing in the whole UUA. We're looking at how we do employment in the UUA and who's been hired for what and how we have certain expectations. And that's kind of the things, that's what Jesus was doing in this story, and that's kind of the work we're doing, but if we look at our whole nation, are we in a period of disruption right now in our whole nation? Right? Yeah. 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 Right? Is anybody scared right now? You can say it. Yeah. Some people are scared. Right? It's scary. It's scary. Right? Well, when we disrupt things, a lot of things come out of the woodwork. Right? Because there's been this status quo. There's been this way that we've been going on. And then we have a period where we're saying, you know what, we're going to do this radical thing. We're going to be so welcoming. We're going to change things. We're going to put people in power who weren't in power. And then we have a backlash, and we're in this period of backlash, and it's very disrupting. So how can we stop and think about who is our neighbor? How can we stop and pause a moment? Well, you here are already doing that work. My goodness, I was talking with Reverend Kent. So you know that we all, like, we're part of sister ministry chapters, and we get to meet a couple times a year and get together and do things, and it's really a privilege to come and preach north of the Mason-Dixon line. I've preached in Maryland and Virginia and environs, and this is the first time I come north. And we make assumptions about that too, right? If you go north of Maryland, oh my goodness, or south of Maryland, or south of Pennsylvania, oh my goodness, what does that mean? But we have some progressive folks in Virginia where I live, and some really welcoming places and some fresh new ideas. So, in talking to Reverend Kent, I know some of the work that you're doing. I know that you do some work with welcoming, former prisoners back into society. Did I get that right? Is that right? Former prisoners back into society. And I know that you were burned a little bit by that, and you're still doing the work. Wow. That is fabulous. That is so fabulous. I know you've dug in to the privilege work and the Black Lives Matter work, and that is fabulous, and you're doing that work here. And I know that just last week you had this massive storm. The church lost power. Many of you lost power. Who here lost power? I mean, that's a lot of folks. And you were helping out each other, right? So you know who your neighbors are right here. You know who your neighbors are in the Philadelphia community. So who are your neighbors beyond Philadelphia? How do we take this? Because we don't live in a bubble. We always have context in the wider world. And we see, how many of you are on social media? We see things happening on social media. I mean, sometimes some really mean things too, right? We see things happening. I know some of you are coming down to my home in a couple of weeks, to the DC metropolitan area on March 24th, right? To support the work against gun violence. And if you've been following stuff on social media, you know that the students from Parkland and their families, some of them have been getting some threats. Yeah. Now, are the students from Parkland, are they neighbors to the students in Ferguson, Missouri? They are. I mean, Florida and Missouri, if you're good at geography, you know they're not like this, right? They're not literally next door to each other, but they're neighbors. And props to those students in Florida who are mainly white students who recognized that they were doing the same things as the students who walked out in Ferguson and demanded to be safe. And yet the students in Ferguson were accused of doing what? Who knows? They were accused of rioting, they were accused of disrupting and of being, you know, troublemakers, and the students in Parkland are being cheered on for, you know, making social change. They were doing the same thing. So the students in Parkland recognized this and said, oh, we're going to leverage this. We're going to be, oh, you know the word, neighbors, right? We're going to be neighbors. We're going to be neighbors. So how can we leverage what we know already? How can we leverage the power that we have? How can we leverage what we know about being neighbors? Because you know you're doing this work. How can we leverage this to the wider world? Well, who needs our help? Who needs our neighborliness? Everyone, right? People in Puerto Rico are still without power. Some of you have been without power for a week or a few days, right? People in Puerto Rico are still without power. How can we help them? I don't have the answer for you right now. I'm not going to tell you, well, do this and this and this and this. I'm lifting that up. How do we help them? There are immigrants all over the world who don't have basic safety and basic needs. How do we help them? Are we neighbors to the rest of the world? We're all on one planet. How can we help them? And are we responsible for individually or even as a single congregation fixing every single crisis in the world? No, of course not. We can't do it alone. But are we responsible for being as aware as possible? We are. Are we responsible for remembering that we cannot put people into boxes? That we cannot say, oh, those Samaritans, oh, those lawyers, oh, those people in Puerto Rico, across the river, south of the Mason-Dixon. My friends, we are all one humanity. We are all neighbors. You know what you must do. You know who is your neighbor. Do the work with joy. Namaste.